Last month, the Department of Defense released an 8-point Arctic strategy. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel presented the document at the Halifax International Security Forum in Nova Scotia. It is a military blueprint for managing the future of international shipping, territorial sovereignty, tourism, and security in a rapidly changing Arctic. In the first of a 2-part interview, Alaska's top military official, Lieutenant General Russell Handy, says what stands out from the plan is how much is yet unknown.
I think perhaps the biggest challenge is going to be to look into our crystal ball on what our requirements will be. You know, there's not total agreement, for example, on the ice melt and the rate at which that's occurring or the impact that's going to have on increased economic development up in the Arctic. I mean, we're responsible to maintain an awareness of that domain and try to ensure via partnership with the international community freedom of navigation in international waterways in accordance with international norms. But how much of that is there going to be? And then how much infrastructure do you have to put there? If there's going to be a lot of tourism, for example, in the Arctic, well, we and the state and local officials need to be ready for that. If there's some sort of a search and rescue requirement that either we over land in the Alaskan Command or Admiral Ostebo in U.S. Coast Guard District 17 needs to conduct over the water, we need to have thought through that in advance. And so that's probably the most challenging, is envisioning what will the Arctic look like in 20 or 25 years.
Are there elements of the Arctic strategy that will be implemented immediately?
There are. In fact, there's elements of that strategy ongoing right now, which is why it was so exciting for us to be able to offer input, because we were able to say, boy, that's a really good idea. And in fact, let me show you what we're already doing. And so our team has been conducting many things that you sort of read between the lines in that Arctic strategy for some time. We have a series of working groups where we bring together public and private partners and talk about activities that are ongoing. That was sort of, you know, as with any analysis, self-awareness is the first step. And so we brought everyone together and we're talking about what each other are doing. And we're learning quite a bit about what's going on up at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, for example, nationally, internationally recognized as a center of excellence for Arctic studies. What's going on in the corporate world up on the Northern Slope. And we're actually learning many things that we can capitalize on from a Defense Department perspective, from the people that have been doing this for a number of years. And in fact, my predecessor signed a memorandum of agreement with President Gamble from the University of Alaska that outlined areas where we will partner. And we have an active partnership going with UAF in everything from Arctic awareness, maritime domain awareness, to how might you employ remotely piloted vehicles for command and control purposes. And so we're actively partnering with them and others.
As you're probably aware, there's a lot of controversy about unmanned aerial vehicles. Do you see that as something that could be used for simple reconnaissance in the Arctic, or how do you envision that might be a way to enhance surveillance in that area?
I think there's tremendous growth opportunity for remotely piloted vehicles, but I do think we have to very carefully look at what we're doing with them, how we're doing it, and in some cases, who is doing it. And what I mean by that is there's a big difference between a private corporation who is looking at their facilities with a remotely piloted vehicle, or the UAF doing research, or frankly, even the United States Coast Guard, who has law enforcement authority using it. Big difference between that and the Department of Defense, a Title 10 activity. And as you know, we have legislation that protects our citizens from the military doing things that look like civilian law enforcement. So we have to be very careful that we're doing it for the right reasons. That said, we will partner with all of our both public and private partners that we're working with right now to ensure that we help each other, because the DOD has tremendous capacity in remotely piloted vehicles. We've got a lot of experience with them. And so we can either work together on programs or as a very minimum, pass on our expertise to those that will use them.
Secretary Hagel said that the Department of Defense must evolve its Arctic infrastructure and capabilities at a pace consistent with changing conditions. That would seem to suggest a nearly immediate start based on how quickly the Arctic is changing and the complete lack of Arctic infrastructure today. What do you anticipate, or when do you anticipate actual building of facilities may happen and where? Will it be Kotzebue, Barrow, Nome? What's known about that?
Secretary Hagel did say that, but also in the document he outlined the cautionary note, and that is, let's be careful that we very carefully analyze where we need an infrastructure investment so that when we take taxpayer dollars, we're investing it in something that we really need when lined up against all of the other things that the DOD has to invest in for the defense of our national interest. And so I think I read in that he's going to be very careful in large scale investment. That said, we can get a lot done with a very small investment by partnering with, as I said, the UAF, other private organizations and public organizations, our international partners. I think that's a key area for growth as well. When you look at the members of the Arctic Council and those that may want to join the Arctic Council, I think that's our center of gravity. You continue to evolve capabilities together, because no one of us can do that alone. And so to do that, we all need to come to a common understanding of what international norms are. And so talking often in forums like the Arctic Council, I think, is important. And then working together to build those capabilities, because I wouldn't say there's a total lack of infrastructure and equipment. I would say there's a lot of opportunity there. But if you look at everything that's in place in the public and private world and with our international partners, I think it might surprise you as to what capability does exist or could exist for a reasonable investment in the near term to, I believe, satisfy the Defense Department's strategy. In the far term, again, the trick is going to be understanding what the Arctic will look like in 2030. As you know, the DOD doesn't build anything quickly. And so if we're going to field programs, we have to look in advance and build a program to be able to fund that and march carefully. And so understanding where those capabilities need to be in, say, 2025 or 2030, I think will be the cornerstone to any investment strategy.
Lieutenant General Russell Handy is the senior military officer for Alaska. Tomorrow evening, we'll hear more about military investment, training, and the importance of the Arctic Council.